October 7th. It is cool and rainy today, maybe 50 degrees, a constant shower in the air. I took my Woodard Bay walk expecting this magical place to be even more mysterious in the mist, and it was amazing. The trees bathed in moisture, all of that surface moss on the big leaf maples and aspens thickening visibly almost as I watch. Deep enough on many trees to support little colonies of ferns, each stem 6 to 12 inches tall, poking up from the sides or crotches of branches and trunks. I noticed today that the moss grows more copiously on the maples and aspens than on the firs, hemlocks, or cedars, at least on the lower parts. Maybe it has something to do with the differing chemistry between coniferous and deciduous trees, like pH levels. I suppose I could Google it, but I don't really care why. It appears to me to be true, based on very limited personal witness, no matter the reason, which is what I have to go on now. I'm still trying to get used to the way it rains here. For one thing, the sky is much higher, and that is especially so by the water, the rain seeming to materialize somewhere miles away up there. How it falls in such separate, distinct drops, yet so softly. Enough so that a 2-mile walk in it today left me only a little bit damp. About a week ago, when the first fall rains started, there was an actual downpour, like there might be in a thunderstorm, but without any of the flash and din. Just a downpour. Made me feel at home. A few days later, the couple that owns my house, Sterling and Lisa, stopped by to do some yard work. Technically, they are, I guess, my landlords, but they are such sweet, kind people, like friends to me, that such a word seems impertinent. In any case, Lisa commented on that rainstorm, how it frightened her. That told me that such outbursts are rare here, and most of the rain in the meantime has been like today's, soft and friendly. Some days it comes and goes in waves, intermittent bright sun in between showers. Some days it comes in the morning with clear blue skies in the afternoon. Some days are like today. Carol, I recall now, loved thunderstorms, would recline on the bed upstairs facing the window overlooking the backyard westward where the storms came from, and watch the lightning with great delight cheer the thunder beginning to end. Couldn't get enough of it. Maybe she would miss that here. Today, I walked all the way to the point to look out over the harbor, everything enveloped in a soft, wet shroud. I thought of Coleridge's Mariner's line, a fog, a mist, a shape I wist. That's exactly what it was like to see the skyline, the mountains off in the distance, a shape I wist. The mariner, of course, is about to see what a horror that wistful shape actually is, the death ship come to take the souls of his mates. What I wished was nothing like that at all. It was calming, almost sleep-inducing, so peaceful. A couple of times I was tempted to get my phone out to take a photo, but that reflex passed very quickly. I have pretty much stopped taking pictures of what I see. Part of that derives from my ability now to actually see what I'm seeing, turn it into a few words to help me remember it, write about it if I want, but more so, just to keep it inside me for myself. I needed to take all those photos for the first few months because I just couldn't get any of this inside me rightly. So I would put it in my phone, put it in my pocket, take it home, and download it, arrange it into little storylines, put it in me that way, 3 steps removed. Now, my eyes have adjusted, and I can see. I don't need that other apparatus to know what I need to know. But it was also the weather today, the kind of day I thought I'd be seeing all the time here, had fully imagined ahead of time, making it feel familiar now, finally happening before my eyes. Out at the point, there is a roofed picnic canopy. There was a young woman under the front corner today painting the scene I was heading out to look at. She had, I could see, 4 small panels, maybe 6 by 6 inches, set on her small easel, all of which had some paint on them. I'm not sure exactly what the details were. It seemed rude to intrude on her work even by looking at it, let alone asking about it, like she should have some privacy to do what she wanted to do on a day like today. But I thought that if I wanted to keep an image of what I saw today, I'd have to paint it. Take my time. Slow. I spent a good portion of my walk trying to come to terms with something that has been bothering me for quite a while, that I decided this morning I needed to settle if I could. It had, at least superficially, to do with the music I make and the way it's received or most often ignored by people I send it to. It's been going on for some time now, so I'm used to it. But for some reason, that sequence, sing, share, silence, always makes me sad. I wanted today to figure out why, so I could stop the last S from happening, the sad. I started to sing with purpose about 5 years ago as a way of coping with the overflow of emotions I couldn't quite fathom or control in advance of, and then in the aftermath of my wife's death, such a sad and stressful time. I wrote as one way of handling that, yes, but there was so much still left in there, a complex of vexing, undifferentiated feelings I needed to get to, get out, get in, or all of those gets all at once. For some reason, singing songs helped me to do that. I've loved and listened to music all of my life, all kinds of music, from Stephen Foster to the Kinks, so I knew a lot of great songs. I started to learn them specifically, to sing in private, in the back room back home, closed door, so as not to bother anyone, strumming away on my guitar, whispering or wailing. It was so helpful. After Carol passed, the process escalated. As I said, I started recording these sessions, maybe just to hear another voice, my own reflected back, this strange new way. I have no inherent skills as a singer or musician, so the first playbacks were, even to me, just god-awful noise. But I kept at it. It was that important to me. After a while, I made albums, covers of familiar songs that to me fit together, to send to my family and a few friends. They were somewhat better, tolerable, to some at least. I gradually winnowed my audience based on responses I received. In simple terms, if I heard back, you got more. If I didn't, you didn't. A generally reliable review system. Then, 2 years ago, out of the blue, I started to write my own songs, make my own albums, a process I have come to love. I mean, truly love. Maybe because it's like anything you're terrible at, and the work to become more competent with. How it ends up pleasing you way more than the thing you are inherently good at. Like, for me, writing. I shared these albums as well, more broadly at first, then winnowing, same system. A few weeks ago, I had quite a wonderful thing happen. I wrote a bunch of new songs right after I got to Olympia, kind of fluffy love songs. I mean, like, falling in love songs. Sweet. Which is what I was doing those first few weeks. Not with another person, but with this place. I guess, becoming a kind of romantic partner to me. I made them into an album called The Kiss, the title and cover image coming from a most charming sculpture on the boardwalk downtown. Two metal-cast middle-aged lovers dressed like it's the 1920s, she wearing a long dress and floppy hat, he mustachioed wearing a rumpled suit, kissing one another lightly but lustfully right there at the waterside. Yes, most charming. Just on a whim, I decided to put this one, my third original album, up on Bandcamp, a first foray into the public domain. To my surprise, I got a few positive responses, one of which led me to an indie music review site, which ended up reviewing my album, a short, moderately positive review, and then staging a follow-up interview. My 15 minutes of fame in the music business. I was so thrilled by that. Like a kid, I guess, who gets a ribbon at a fair or something. So I shared this news with as many people as I could. Links to the album and the review, like you might share any sort of good news in your life. I didn't expect anyone to listen to the album or even read the review. Maybe scan it. It was only a few paragraphs. Look at the front page of my Bandcamp webpage, which I tried to make nice. That sort of thing. Take a minute or two, maybe. Aside from my immediate family, I heard back from only two people. This made me sad. A sadness that persists now, lapping my shoreline with its ripples. There are tiny bubbles on my life's froth, coming and going, over and over. I spent time today up to my ankles in that surf, wanting to fathom my sadness. It's why. I made some progress and will continue the process on and off for more days, weeks, months, years, whatever it takes to settle things in my heart. I know now, having started, that like Olympia, my sadness has many layers, some of them going back to what happened after Carol passed, some of them going back as far as I can remember. I already know a lot about what's at stake here, but I'll spare you the details. I am trying, as I said, to sound less like a teacher, become smaller in all the right ways. This is an opportunity to make good on that promise. So here's all I want to say. When another shares their news with you, as monumental as a death in the family, or as inconsequential as a short review, you have three choices. You can say nothing back. You can say something back that has little to do with that news but makes you feel better. Or you can say something back that will make the other feel better, even if it's only, "I am so sorry for your loss," or "I am so happy for your gain." Those words, when proffered, are some of life's greatest gifts. It's so easy to deliver. 3 seconds to say, 30 seconds to write. They yield eternity in an instant. If you have difficulty deciding which of those three things to do, just think what you'd most like to have done for you right then, if you were that other. There is a reason. Almost every religious and ethical system known to man is founded on some version of the Golden Rule. This is just another example of it in ordinary, everyday life. The thing is, each of those three things takes the same amount of time and energy, relatively speaking. You have to look, decide, act, or not. A matter of seconds. But the payoff for each is so different. No one feels better. You feel a bit better. Or someone else feels dramatically, even life-alteringly better. Incalculably different. So, when in doubt, do the third thing, which is a pretty good summation of most of what I've written over the last 3 years. Maybe I should just take all those books off Amazon, off my website, and tattoo that phrase to my forehead. Do the third thing. I'm pretty sure that's a mode of publication I can't put on my CV either. But I bet some others would read it, and maybe ask me what it means. For a few, the ones with ears to hear, there will be a few tears that well up when I tell them. If not theirs, then mine.